This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're going to miss the golden voice of Tom Fitzmaurice going to the Aquaphone and the Blue Phone and the Magenta Phone and all of that. In case you haven't heard, Tom Fitzmaurice passed away at the age of 74. He'd been ill. This is his music that I'm playing here because he loved that kind of stuff when he would do his show. He was around for over 50 years covering restaurants. He had a lot to do with the Katrina recovery because he promoted the restaurants coming back after Katrina, and had the restaurants not come back, I don't know if the city would have come back. So I think he's one of those untold stories of Katrina. He also, I think, coined the phrase the Katrina hug. And that's where you would see somebody years after Katrina that you hadn't seen, and you just spontaneously hug them. He was a very, very talented man, a very, very smart man, very creative man, very funny man. And he, it was hard to see later in his life the effects of Alzheimer's. That's what eventually complications from that caused his death. And people are texting in about the supposed feud that he and I had, and he concocted this just to get people to talk about it. He and I were very, very good friends, and Tom Fitzmaurice was just one of the more talented people ever, I think, to be on the airwaves in New Orleans, and he's one of these iconic New Orleans personalities, and I hope we all remember him well. He's got books that you can find all over the place, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and his children, and he was a proud Jesuit Rummel alum, because I think he went to one and graduated from the other, but either way, man, he was a friend. He was a New Orleans icon, and we're going to miss him a lot. We really are, and we have missed him in the time that he's been ill. So God bless you, Tom Fitzmaurice. Enjoying a big old fancy meal up in heaven wherever you are. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Jason Adriance about flounders and alligators and more here on WWL. 7:15, getting some texts about Tom Fitzmaurice, quoting him, "It doesn't matter how fancy the party is, how expensive the food is. If there are finger sandwiches, they will always be the first thing I go to." And I asked Tom one time how he could eat all of these meals and not be heavy, because he reviewed so many restaurants. And he told me that his secret was, as soon as the entree came, if he was by himself, he would separate it in half, because he would have leftovers constantly, right? And I guess in a way now you can look at it as a waste of food. But he would take the salt shaker and immediately cover the second half of it with salt so it was inedible, so he couldn't eat it no matter how good it was. And that's how he managed to keep his weight down. But he was a tremendous man, a smart guy, knew the vocabulary guy. He knew, for example, that the word flounder and founder could be used interchangeably. And sometimes people correct each other, saying, "No, if you mean sink, you're saying flounder and you mean founder," or the other way around. But according to Webster's, both can be used interchangeably. Not, however, when it comes to the fish. When it comes to the fish, then you got to use flounder. And with that in mind, Jason Adriance joins us now, fisheries biologist of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. Doing well. Yourself?
I'm well, sir. Everybody has a story, and I always like to hear everybody's. How do you become a fisheries biologist with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries?
It's a little bit of a long story. I actually grew up in the Midwest, but had a biology teacher that would constantly show us Jacques Cousteau films. And so I had these visions of scuba diving for a living, and that didn't work out. But here I am.
Everybody's got a story, Jason, and that's why I wanted to hear yours. Tell me the story of flounder in Louisiana.
Sure. As you may know, we've had some issues with the flounder stock over the last decade. The population has gone down to a point where we needed to enact some management restrictions further than we already have. And so in 2022, our Wildlife and Fisheries Commission established a fall and winter closure, so October 15th through all of November. Commercial and recreational harvest of that species is restricted. And that was done because the population, the spawning portion of that population is too low. We need to recover it to a more sustainable biomass. And the problem with flounder, even though we use the term overfished, that a better way to say that with flounder is that stock's depleted. It's not a result of our fishing activity. It's a result of the biomass. There's been lower recruitment, so we've had fewer younger fish make it into the estuary after spawning, after those adults spawn.
Well, hang on. Let me slow you down a little bit. Yeah, let me use the timeout here, Adrian's. Jason, if I can, I got three of them, and I want to use one of them right here before the clock runs out. And that is, you talk about recruitment. Is that what you said? And biomass? Take me through that a little bit, what that means, because it's easy to say it's overfished, but you're saying that's not the reason.
Well, yeah. It's so normally, if you hear the term overfished, folks think it's too much fishing. It's a technical term we use when the spawning stock of a species is too low. The technical term is overfished. Mm-hmm. Now, when I talk about recruitment, that's after the adults offshore spawn and these larvae move inshore into the estuaries. Recruitment is those young juvenile fish that make it into the estuary and survive to enter the fishery. So our recruitment that we look at is those young fish that survive through that high mortality on those younger ages and make it into the fishery.
And what was hurting that?
Yeah, so flounder are a little unique. There's part of it is the biomass is too low, so not enough fish spawning. But another unique aspect of their biology is they have temperature-dependent sex determination. So when those young larvae are moving inshore, if water temperatures are around 64 degrees, it's pretty much a one-to-one male-to-female ratio. But if those estuarine water temperatures are much higher, you can skew that male-to-female ratio to almost 7-to-1, being 7 males to every female. So you end up having this disproportionate amount of males and not enough females.
So the change in the water temperature was temporary or not?
Well, it's just during the critical time of year. So those young flounder are coming into our estuaries between February and March, this time of year. Mm-hmm. And so this time of year is when those water temperatures are critical. And if we've had really warm springs and those water temperatures have been really warm, then that leads to more male flounder.
Throws the balance off. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to Jason Adrians, fisheries biologist of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. I'm a golfer. I am not a fisherman. So if y'all have any questions, please text them in to 504-260-1870, because I don't know what I don't know. I will say this, Jason, you scared me, because when you said recruitment, I was expecting fish to start wanting name, image, and likeness money. 721 traffic now, WW.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jason Adrians, fisheries biologist with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, about flounder populations. When it comes to hitting a flop shot over a bunker, I'm your guy, but when it comes to fishing, not so much, so I defer to the audience. Somebody texted in, Jason, and says, so after this winter, there ought to be an overabundance of female flounders. Is that accurate or not?
It's not quite accurate. If the water temperatures stay in that optimum range with this cooler spring, then it should be closer to a 1-to-1-6 ratio. That doesn't mean we'll have more juvenile flounders survive. There's some other things that go on as well. Obviously, our coast, everyone knows how much habitat we're losing. So that plays a role in terms of nursery areas for these young fish. And I want to add, this is not just a Louisiana issue. This is the issue with flounder has been gulf-wide and even up the southeast coast. A lot of states have noticed this issue with flounder.
You're reading ahead, because the next text here, Jason, was, what about the loss of coastal habitat?
Yeah, that's a big thing moving forward as we lose more of that habitat that's conducive to fish, and we have less habitat to support our populations. Those issues will persist.
Somebody else wants to know about flounder bycatch because of shrimping, and I don't know quite how you catch a flounder. Do you bottom fish for that, or what's the deal on that, Jason?
Well, so there's been a lot of flounder regulations throughout history, or at least in the last couple of decades, and one that's legislative here in Louisiana is that all flounder caught as trawl bycatch can be kept on a shrimping vessel. One thing that happened that allowed this closure that was put in place to happen was the legislature adjusted that if the stock is overfished or undergoing overfishing, the department could regulate that bycatch. And the peak times for flounder bycatch and shrimping activity is in that time period from mid-October through November, that's when all the females move down the coast and move offshore to spawn. So that was our biggest bang for the buck in terms of protecting that stock and trying to rebuild it, is to try to let as many females as possible make it offshore to spawn.
Only 30 seconds left. Let me get to this one. Can you ask if there will be any restrictions on redfish or speckled trout due to the cold fish kill? And I got to follow up with, was there a cold fish kill?
We did have fish kills related to this recent freeze event. There's a document online with that's tied to a news release that you can link to that shows the effort we put forward in documenting those. We did observe both red drum and trout mortality in going out after the freeze. At this time, there's no pending restrictions based on that. We're just going to continue to monitor those stocks.
Jason, I'm glad you watched Jacques Cousteau, and I'm glad we got you from the Midwest. Jason Adriance, fisheries biologist with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Jason, quickly, is there a website where fishermen can go or fisher ladies and get all the information they need?
Sure. It's our homepage, which is www.wlf.louisiana.gov.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll come back, talk to Joe Geruso about this school board city settlement. Ridiculous foolishness. Right now, time for WWL First News. Here we go, 7:40, 20 till 8. Big day at WWL. You know, we got the Saints press conference for you at 11:30 when they introduce Kellen Moore, new head coach. Gail Benson's going to be there along with Mickey Loomis and more. And before that, at 9:30, Mike Haas is going to make a big announcement at the Superdome about a concert involving two big stars in one big concert. Who do you think it's going to be? Beyonce and Jay-Z? Maybe Paul McCartney and Ringo? Seals and Crofts? I don't know, but we'll find out at 9:30 when Mike Haas announces it live here on WWL. When we come back, we'll talk to Joe Geruso about this foolishness involving the mayor's office and this Orleans Parish school board settlement, skimming money. Where did it go? What are they doing with it? It's a mess. We'll be back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 7:45, quarter till 8. Quickly to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. Joe, you went to Jesuits. I'll quote Shakespeare, "All the world's a stage, all the men and women merely players." I try to cut the mayor some slack because I know there's a private part and there's a public part. And when I saw her in front of the Super Bowl committees and everything else and the NFL taking a bow, it's like, okay, but really, that's the show business part of it, the nuts and bolts of running government you're not so good at. I heard you and Newell talking about this, and we first started talking about it last week, the Orleans Parish School Board settlement. I'm going to just turn it over to you because you can explain it more concisely than I can. What I cannot believe, looking at you and J.P. Morrell and Freddie King and Leslie Harris, that they would go before a board of lawyers and try to present this foolishness. But take it over, Joe, if you would, please.
Yeah, so we made a deal with the administration based on a lawsuit that has been pending against the city by the school board regarding the city illegally withholding funds from the school board. And the short of it, Tommy, is there's obviously taxes that are collected by the city, including property taxes that the city collects on behalf of people, including the Orleans Parish School Board. And what the city has been doing is taking money off the top of those ad valorem taxes as an administrative fee. This has already been litigated in the downtown development district, and the city lost. So there's almost no doubt in this instance that the city's going to lose again. So knowing that, and knowing that there is a potential liability of over $100 million, doesn't it make sense to find an accord, a compromise, an agreement that works all of it out? And as JP said during the meeting, the linchpin of the deal is to stop withholding this money that the city is taking as a collection fee or as other fees. And to me, from a four-hour meeting, the most telling part of the meeting is when I asked the administration if the school board or the state or the sheriff or somebody else agreed to collect the taxes for the school board and not the city, would you be okay with the deal? And they wouldn't answer the question. So that shows me one thing, Tommy, that this is all about the money and that the city doesn't want to relinquish what it considers to be a revenue stream on the backs of children that should be going to kids and the city shouldn't have been collecting for years.
So people approved this millage for education. And then I heard you use the word, or Newell did yesterday, that really got my attention as a fan of mob movies, and that was skim. And basically that's what the city is doing, right? Skimming money off of the fund that people, or the millages that people voted for schools to use for whatever they want to use. Accurate?
I think I use the word skim.
You
and
did.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Well, think about it sort of two ways. Number one, you just made the point The millage is about money for kids. The millage language does not say the city shall collect a portion of this millage money as part of its obligations. So just the language of the ballot proposition itself does not allow the city to do that. That's number one. Then number two, as a practical matter, and I raised this on Newell yesterday too, the city's already collecting money for NOPD, for NOFD, for the parks, for other things. I mean, is it really an $8 to $11 million lift for the city to collect the school's money when it's already collecting for so many other entities, not only because they're already doing it, because theoretically all the efficiencies that it should be created in doing this, that just doesn't make any sense.
Joe, let me take a break because I want to pick it up from here. We come back. I'm no Joe Geruso or Newell Norman. I didn't go to Jesuit. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But anyway, I am a Freddie King, though, because I went to Shaw. But here's the point. If they were supposed to have $100 million that goes to the schools, and they collected $20 million, and the settlement's for $16 million, is that accurate so far?
So the settlement is actually $100 million, but it's over 10 years. So it's $20 million to the school district this year. It stopped collecting the fee that they shouldn't be collecting. And then from this year and for the next 9 years afterwards, it's money for programs for kids, including workforce development and mental health and incarcerated kids, et cetera.
All right, let me simplify it. So when we come back, will the OPSB ever get what they were supposed to get from this millage? And what happened to the money that the city collected? Where did that go? Do you know? 751 more with Joe Geruso. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 756, talking to Councilmember Joe Geruso about the city and skimming money from the millage for the Orleans Parish School Board. You can go to WWL.com and listen to Newell and Joe talk about this lawyer to lawyer. This is dumb West Bank guy to lawyer, the conversation we're having now, Joe. So the first question is, will the school board ever get all of the money that they were supposed to get?
Well, that's what the motion to enforce the settlement is going to settle next week in court. Obviously, we prefer it not get to that point, but the school board's going to litigate it, so it's coming to a head quicker rather than later.
So we don't know yet?
Don't know yet.
All right, so the money that the city did skim, where did that go and how much money are we talking about?
It's somewhere several million dollars per year. I think the estimates I've heard got up to between $8 and $10 million per year. My assumption, Tommy, is that it went into the city's general fund, which is obviously just the pig pool of money the city has to pay all of its obligations, and it can go to anything. Is it possible some of the money went to kids? Yes. Is it also possible it went to changing lights and doing other things? Also, yes.
But can the city spend money that the city council doesn't allocate? And I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but that's what confused me.
Yeah, I mean, the city can't spend money on things it didn't allocate. And again,
that the council didn't allocate, right?
That the council didn't allocate. Correct. Well, that's part of what our frustration was yesterday at the end of the meeting, was that the administration has said they've now overspent on public safety over time by $50 million. Well, we didn't allocate any funds for that to happen. So how are you going ahead and spending this money or authorizing this money without having a much in-depth public conversation about it?
So when it comes to this foolishness of they weren't aware of it, just I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we do have a minute left, Joe. So just talk about that idiocy, if you would, please.
Yeah, look, that's why I went through all the documents and the emails, Tommy, and this isn't my first rodeo with this group. I know that you have to have backup in case something like this happens. But if you follow the paper trail, we started discussing it internally on November 6th. I sent a term sheet that the administration was copied on by November 13th. By November 18th, we had a press conference on the doorstep of City Hall where the whole world knew about it. The administration participated in it. The administration prepared budget amendments that included the first payment of $10 million in them. That was all publicized per our council agenda the very same day. On November 21st, we had a council meeting where we passed the budget, and the mayor signed the budget on November 26th. And then for the next basically month and a half, everybody acted as if we were moving forward. So I don't know how you could make it any clearer. In a flippant moment the other day, I said, this is the worst secret I've ever kept. And maybe I shouldn't have been so pejorative about it, but the point is, for anybody to say they didn't know is simply untrue.
Truth is an absolute defense. You know that better than do I, Joe Geruso. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Dr. B, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.